hand that God has given you that you could then use. Gratitude and aptitude, we talked about. The gratitude of what God has given us and the gifts. The gratitude for what God has given us and the gifts that we can then use. But the reading today is about healing and it's about thanksgiving. And I want to speak about both of those today. Gratitude and healing. Thankfulness and healing. I don't know how many people have seen the old version of the movie Ben-Hur. Anybody seen Ben-Hur? You know, Charlton Heston, the 17-hour long movie or something like that. But it's a very long movie. There's a picture, or there's a scene in the movie that there's a storyline within it where one of his family members gets leprosy. Now, leprosy in our day is an awful disease where you can lose limbs and the ends of your fingers and you lose feeling and you end up having to have them cut off so it doesn't penetrate the rest of your body. But back in the old days, it wasn't necessarily just that disease. It was anything that was a skin disease, but it caused some kind of separation. It meant that if you were a leper, if you've seen the movie Ben-Hur, you would have to live separate from other people. You would be excluded from normal life to the point that they developed leper colonies, places where lepers could live because they wanted to be separate from them because it was a scary thing to be near someone who had leprosy. Because if you caught leprosy, it means that you then would lose your community. You'd have to live separate to other people. You wouldn't be able to be employed in a normal kind of job. You would be dependent on other people's generosity for you to be able to live. And 10 of these men came to Jesus. We could talk if you wanted, there's no time today, but reflecting on the fact that one of these guys was a Samaritan, but was spending time with 9 other Jewish people. The fact that being isolated and set apart from their normal communities gave them something that connected them together in ways that normally they would never have joined together with, because Samaritans and Jews did not mix. And yet these 10 people heard about Jesus and came to Jesus and cried out to him, "Lord, would you heal us?" And Jesus' response was, not surprisingly, if you've read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, he didn't go, "Well, maybe." He didn't say, "Well, I'll think about it." His answer was, "Yes, of course I'll heal you. That's what I'm here to do." So 10 people got healed and they went off. It was their faith response. Jesus said, "You go show yourself to the priest and then you'll get healed." It wasn't necessarily an instant healing as they stood there. It was a faith response to saying, "Okay, well, I'll do what Jesus has told me to do. And doing that will be the way that causes his healing to come to me." There's something deep and profound about that as well. But as they go and take their journey, they realize, "Oh my goodness, this thing we asked Jesus to do has happened. We healed and set free." And now it's easy for you and me to criticize the other 9 lepers. Well, if you're like me, then I just read it and go, "Oh, that's terrible. The one guy who came back, good guy, the other 9, oh." But think about it for a second. If you were one of those 10 lepers and you had been excluded from your family, you weren't able to work, you'd had to live in a group of other leper colonies and dependent on other people, what would be your first reaction if you had got healed? Would you not want to run and tell your family? Would you not want to run back and go to your village and say, "Look what God's done for me. This is awesome." And you may be thankful in your heart for what Jesus has done, but really you'd want to share it with the people that you most love. But one guy chose to not first go back to his family or even to the priest, but to come back to Jesus. And we were saying last week that sometimes gratitude is costly. Sometimes gratitude is a discipline. It's a choice of us saying, "I'm going to choose to be thankful in the midst of what is going on." In the Old Testament, they talk about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You would go to the temple and take your offering and make an offering to God. It was costly to say thank you to God. Well, why would you do that? It's because God has done so much in our lives. And again, we talked last week about seeing it from his perspective. Gratitude sets us free to see things from God's perspective. You see, if you're a bit of a moaner, like I am, then you get stuck, you get trapped and caught in what could have been, or what should have been, or what you wish you had done. And you get trapped. Instead of choosing the discipline of gratitude, which sets us free to be able to see the future, see our future, see the future of others on their behalf through the eyes of faith. But it's not always convenient. Some of you know Lizzie and I live currently in a temporary house. Chris and Kat are also living in a temporary house, and our families are living in a temporary house. I don't know if you've ever lived in a temporary house before, but it's temporary. It doesn't really feel like home because you know that eventually you're going to go to somewhere else and live somewhere else. And I said a couple of weeks ago, all our stuff is in cardboard wardrobes because our wardrobes are in storage. And along with all the other stuff, not all the other stuff, but some of the other stuff that doesn't fit in the house we currently live in, it's in storage. We can't use our stuff because we live in a temporary house. Now that, people, is a cause to moan. And I am pretty good at it. But the reality is, we've got a roof over our head. We've got a nice comfy bed. Every time we go and turn the kettle on for a cup of tea, it works. Every time we turn the tap on to get a drink of water, it works. Every time we look out of the window, there's a beautiful view, which actually we're going to miss when we finally move into the vicarage. But it's a discipline. It's a choice, and it's tough, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that it's the way to be set free, to not get caught on the coulda, woulda, shouldas, but to see things from God's perspective, which is bigger and better. And as we've been saying over the last few weeks about our greatest influence and our greatest attachment, if we're attached to the coulda, woulda, shouldas, then we're not attached to Jesus. If we're influenced by the coulda, woulda, shouldas, we're not influenced by Jesus. Gratitude sets us free. And if we can't be grateful for the things that we're going through because life is so hard and so tough, and so extraordinarily painful, perhaps like those people in Haiti, how would they be thankful, Gareth, in the midst of what's going on? Well, how about this? Life is tough, but Jesus still came. Jesus still died. Jesus still rose again. Jesus is reigning in heaven and will come back and sort it all out and make everything right. And that is our hope. So we talked about gratitude and the fact that gratitude was a step of faith. But Jesus says an interesting thing to this leper who's already been healed. I don't know if you heard it, but this leper who's been healed comes back to Jesus. And then Jesus says, oh, your faith has made you well. And it makes me want to ask you a question. So for a couple of minutes, just talk with the person sitting next to you. What's the difference between these two words? You've got the word healed on the left, and you've got the word saved on the right. So this side, because you're on the side of healed, I want you to talk about what the word healed means, okay? And you guys, I want you to talk about what the word saved means, all right? What comes to mind? What does it mean? Either the word saved, or if you're on this side, what does the word healed mean? Just 1 minute, have a little buzz group, think about it, and then we'll hear back what you think. What does the word healed, what does the word saved mean? Some of you will be getting into deep theological treatises, and that's excellent. I'll give you 30 more seconds. Kids, I wonder what you think. What does the word healed mean? What does the word saved mean? All right. All right, we're going to start over this side. What does the words, which one are you doing? Healed mean? Just shout out. What do you think? What does the word healed mean? Shout it out. Restoration to a good state. James, the dictionary at the back there. I like it. All right. Restoration to a good state. Very good. Anything else come to mind when you think of healed or healing or what? Go on, Tia. If you're ill and you get better, you've been healed. Fantastic. Anything else? Doctors and medical people, they come to mind because they try to make us better, try to heal us. Very good. Anything else? Repaired. Oh, I like that. So we've got restoration, we've got made better, we've got doctors and people who work towards that, and repairing. I like that. All right. What about then the word saved? What does that mean, people? Shout it out. I would take this to you, but I'm at risk of tripping myself over. Go on. Rescued. Kept. Very good. Being saved from sin. Similar to rescue, isn't it? Being grabbed out. Good. Anything else? One more? Well, do you know the fascinating thing about the word healed and the word saved? Because some scriptures render that verse that Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. We read, your faith has made you well. The thing is, the word saved and the word healed is exactly the same in the Greek, the language that the Bible was written in. And it's this word sozo. Don't know if we've got that there. If we can press down and have a look at that. There you go, sozo. The word for healed and the word for saved is the same thing. See, sometimes we think of healing as just physical and we think of salvation as spiritual, but actually it's about God inviting us into the fullness of his kingdom where we are free from sin and we are free from pain. And that is the hope of heaven, isn't it? That's the hope of the resurrection life that Jesus has brought to us. But as I was thinking about how 10 lepers had been healed, but one leper had been healed, if that's the way we understand Jesus, what does he actually mean? Well, I think he means this, that 9 of the lepers were physically healed. But one of the lepers began to live his life in the fullness of Jesus' rule and reign. You see, Jesus demonstrated his rule and reign to all 10, but only one recognized that Jesus was the one who brought that rule and reign of God. Which made me think, instead of this tiny little story about the big story of Scripture, and I wonder if, like me, you've read the Bible and you've gone, God, it doesn't always make sense. Well, if that's true of you, then I'd like to introduce to you this idea of the now and the not yet kingdom. The kingdom that God, where God rules and reigns, and where we see some of it here, but not all of it yet. And the way I want to do it is a brief history lesson of everything. How about that? I promise it's brief. But here we go. We're going to go step by step through time. So this is time as the Bible suggests it to us. It has a specific beginning and it's called creation. So you have the creation story, whether you believe that it's a specifically historical document which helps us understand exactly what God did through the 6 days of creation, or if you understand it as a poetic illustration of what God meant by creation, the reality is that the Bible teaches that creation is God's idea and it was good. There's something amazing about the life that we live. There's something amazing about the stuff that we see around us. And the reason we go, ah, when we see a stunning view or something amazing happens or a baby gets born is because there's something inherently good about this creation that we see and that we are a part of. And yet, the second part of the story is the fall, the bit where humanity turned away from God and went, oh, we're going to kind of try it our own way, thanks very much. So we've got the fall, the descent, the failure of humanity to live up to the standards of God and turn in on ourselves. And from that point, God began to do a restoration or a rescue story. And it began through his people of Israel. And that's the next part of the story. The promises of God coming through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And then Israel being that demonstration to the world of what it would look like to have God as king. Now, the highlight, you could say, of that particular way of demonstrating his rule and reign on earth was through the rule of David. But not all of Israel, the whole story of Israel, isn't one that always fills you with a great deal of joy. If you read through Kings and Chronicles, you have your head in your hands a lot of the time going, what? You turned away from God. And the reality is that Israel didn't demonstrate brilliantly to the world what it would look like to live under the rule and reign of God. And so God, in his wisdom through the prophets, established this promise that would say, one day I'll send my son to demonstrate what it really looks like. And that then is Jesus coming. Jesus coming and demonstrating to us what it looks like to live under the rule and reign of God, where he alone is king and he is bringing his kingdom. So what did Jesus say when the lepers came to him and said, would you heal us? He said, sure, because that's what the rule and reign of God looks like. There is healing. There is restoration. There is salvation. There is healing. And then Jesus said to the church, to his disciples, over to you. And that's the bit we're living in now. We have the church. And at the end of time, time will get wrapped up. The Bible tells us when Jesus comes again and sorts everything out and makes everything right. And we're in that in-between time. The in-between time where we see glimpses of God's kingdom. Glimpses of God's kingdom. And through those, in this in-between time, it's our challenge to make those steps of faith. The steps of faith to say, I trust that there is a kingdom that's greater. The kingdom's rule and reign can be demonstrated here on earth, and I'm going to give it a shot at living out as if it's real. Because the truth is, by the resurrection of Jesus, it's been demonstrated that it is real. So how do we do that? Well, here's a picture of my son, Toby, on our trampoline. This story's got nothing to do with Toby, but I wanted to talk about our trampoline. And this is my favourite picture of our trampoline because it's a picture of Toby on it with a bucket on his head. We still don't really know why, but there he is, bouncing on a trampoline with a bucket on his head. But this trampoline, which we love and our kids loved, and it's now no longer ours. We gave it away. But somebody was jumping on it when we were back in Stockport. A little boy, about 4 or 5 years old, jumping on it and fell off it and broke his leg. His parents took him to the hospital, as you do. They took the x-ray scan, saw the crack in his leg, put the temporary cast on his leg. That was Monday morning. Monday afternoon, some of the guys from the church gathered to pray for this little boy. Tuesday came and went, and then by Wednesday, Mum and Dad took him to the hospital again, where they took the temporary cast off so that they could put the permanent cast on him. But they took the temporary cast off, and then he started running around the room. And the doctor said, hang on, if he's got a break that looks like that, he shouldn't be able to do that. Jesus had healed him. And there was nothing that they needed to do. His leg was perfectly fine. Now, what happened as a response to that was Dad went, this Jesus that you've been talking about, can you introduce him to me? Can I get to know him? Can I get to follow him? And he came to faith and we baptized him the following year. You see, often the kingdom breaking in causes us to go, wow, there's something much more than we've seen and understood. I could tell you another story of a kid who got miraculously healed from a terrible infection on his chest within his lungs that meant that he couldn't breathe properly, and Jesus totally healed him. And he's not following Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't mind all the time. And he will heal those 9 lepers, even if they don't come back and respond to him. But his desire is that once the miracle has happened, that the response within us is one of gratitude and praise. And so our faith is seeking to bring the not yet into the now, saying, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And so sometimes it's just stepping out in faith and having a go and being thankful, because thankfulness increases our faith, helps us see things from God's perspective. And as we begin to see things from God's perspective, we begin to see what it is that he wants to do in us and through us. And part of that journey is to bring sozo, healing and salvation and his peace. And so our prayer today is, Lord, would you help us see things from your perspective? Lord, would you help us be grateful for the things that we have in our lives so that we can be set free from moaning or frustration as we discipline ourselves to choose to be thankful? Would you transform our perspective so that we can see ourselves within that history of God connecting with humanity and recognizing that our role is to be those who would see your kingdom come and your will be done. And so, Lord, we'll work for it. We'll pray for it. And Lord, even in those times where we don't see it yet, we'll trust that you know what you're doing and that you're able to use us and equip us to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, we're here to love and serve you. We're here to love and serve each other. We're here to love and serve Greater Manchester and beyond. So give us hearts of fresh Holy Spirit of thankfulness, that we may love and serve. In Jesus' name, amen.